This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
You know, the bank loan, just enough to keep your mama poor. Thought they could swipe her land.
It's a big bank.
It's too big.
That's what she said.
Now they can foreclose on Friday. So come hell or high water, get the money to the bank on Thursday. And then you are free and clear.
Little brother, go get that money.
Good morning, folks! Open the drawers!
You got a gun on you, old man?
You damn right I got a gun on me. Y'all gonna steal my gun, too?
We ain't stealing from you, we're stealing from the bank.
Woo!
You hear about these bank robberies? You may get to have some fun before they send you off to the rocking chair yet.
I may have one hunt left in me.
Some excerpts from the movie Hell or High Water. It's a heist movie. It's a chase movie. It's cops and robbers, and it's being billed as a Robin Hood movie, robbing from the rich, giving to the poor. Does it end up being that? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll review the Oscar-nominated movie, 4 Oscar nominations, by the way, one of them for Best Picture. This movie, Hell or High Water, Pastor Ted Giese will join us here in the first few minutes of the program. A little bit later, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will be our guest from the Ruth Institute. We'll talk about removing wealth marriage penalties from welfare programs, why it needs to happen, one of the ways that marriage is discouraged in the U.S. A little later this Tuesday afternoon, the conclusion of our 5-part series on Gnosticism in 21st century America. We'll talk about Gnosticism and worship, where our guest, Pastor Peter Burfeind, first began to notice Gnosticism and incipient Gnosticism in American Christianity. Then we'll round everything off today, talking with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer in our series, Christ in the Old Testament Today, Deuteronomy chapter 31, a very significant chapter of that Old Testament book. Now, you can join us with questions or comments over the course of the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review the Oscar-nominated movie Hell or High Water, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He is pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
You say that this movie is just a little too much like a couple other movies. What do you mean?
So I guess the thing that, as I was watching the movie, I kept coming back to a Coen Brothers film called No Country for Old Men, which was set in Texas, like this film is. And in that film, you had a fugitive being tracked down by a guy who was near retirement. The investigator was near retirement. And again, you get that in this film, too. It also, it's a crime drama, so I just kept getting this kind of Coen Brothers kind of thing going on because, you know, there's the film Blood Simple, one of their first ones, that it kind of felt like it was sort of referencing in some ways. And then, of course, you know, the investigator in this, it's a pair of Texas Rangers that are tracking down the fugitives, and the Texas Ranger, the main guy, is played by Jeff Bridges, and he seems to be a lot like the character of Marshall Rooster Cogburn from True Grit, and of course the Coen brothers just did this True Grit movie as well, a remake of that. So it feels kind of like, in a way, sort of derivative in some ways. It feels connected to all of that kind of stuff, except of course the Coen brothers are really exemplary filmmakers, and this is, you know, on a scale of 0 to Coen brothers, this is like a 7.5 out of 10.
So,
Coen Brothers being a 10.
The term you use there is derivative. It's trying to be something else.
Or, you know, even if it's not trying to be something else, it is like this other thing, these other films that exist. It's in the same vein as all of that. So on the one hand, this is kind of one of these things where it feels comfortable in terms of you've seen this kind of movie before. It's got its own little quirks, but it's familiar feeling, and it kind of, those movies kind of inform this movie.
What story does it tell?
Hell or High Water tells the story of two brothers, Toby, played by Chris Pine, and Tanner Howard, played by Ben Foster. And these two guys are involved in bank robberies and in West Texas. And they, their bank robbing gets the attention of the Texas Rangers, and two of them are set off to find them, track them down, figure out what's going on. So essentially, you've got a heist movie, and you're getting to know the two brothers who are involved in the heists. And then parallel to that, you're getting to know the two Texas Rangers that are tracking down the fugitives.
You say that the trailer makes it look like a Robin Hood story, robbing from the rich to give to the poor. Does it prove to be that?
Yes and no. Like when I was thinking back to seeing the trailers in the theater earlier this year, it really plays up the financial crash of 2008 and everything that kind of happened afterwards. So there's a lot of bank foreclosures, people losing their land, all of this, their mortgages, and all of this kind of thing. So it's just this sense of a depressed economy and people who are, it may have already been poor, who the banks may already have been taking advantage of, now in an even worse place than they were. And then these guys are robbing banks. And that kind of puts it into that Robin Hood kind of maybe scenario. Except what you discover as you're watching it is that they're really doing it in order to pay off a loan that they have to the bank. So they're the poor in this case. So they're stealing money from the very bank that they have a loan with to pay off the loan so that they can keep their property.
Is it one of those movies that has you rooting for the criminal?
I don't know. It's fairly fair and balanced in a way. You get to know these four men in their pairs, parallel to each other. And Chris Pine's character, he's the one that's got an ex-wife and kids, and he seems to be doing it for their benefit. The brother, played by Ben Foster, he's just kind of along for the ride. He already has a criminal background. He's just out of prison. He's not a particularly likable character. He's more of a jerk than his brother. So do you root for them? Sort of. But then you also have, you know, Jeff Bridges playing this guy near retirement. And, you know, the trope is always the guy near retirement, you know, and just this one last case to take care of, kind of a deal. So that's in there, too. And in fact, his partner is the one that's really actually kind of the one maybe you end up liking the best. And his name is Gil, the actor's name is Gil Birmingham, and he plays kind of a half-Mexican, half-Comanche, Texas Ranger kind of character. And he gets some kind of interesting moments in the movie.
You want to note for the Christian viewer here, and it's kind of why I asked the previous question, that coveting, which this film wouldn't have a plot without it, is a sin. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, so it kind of runs in two different directions. Like the whole film has this kind of setup where it's like the banks are painted as the evil institutions that are taking advantage of poor people and keeping them poor. So in essence, they're taking away from them what they're rightfully working at. So it's coveting leading to stealing on that end of things. And then, of course, you know, they've entered into an agreement, these people, and they're wanting a way to get around the bank to get out of their situation. So they're not honoring the agreement they made, even though it's a bad agreement. So the question then becomes, you know, is it okay to steal from the rich if they're no good? This is kind of a question that people have had all the way along, but there's no exemptions in that. In the Ten Commandments, there's no exemption for that. So instead of, like, paying off the loan in, you know, a way that would be honorable, they resort to theft. And then in the course of that, the two brothers, the one is maybe more gentlemanly, but the other one takes advantage of his power as a bank robber and does things that are not becoming of anyone. So this is a part of the film itself and provides some of the dramatic tension of the film.
You say that the film depicts life in a broken world with no view toward eternity, even, as you say, though death lurks around every corner. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's dangerous, you know. Like, at one point, Jeff Bridges is in the car, and there's a little conversation that comes up between the two rangers, and he says, well, I like fishing, but not enough to do it every day. And so the idea of, what am I going to do in my retirement? And there's this little kind of gallows humor where it's like, well, maybe I'll get, you know, maybe I'll go out in a blaze of glory, that I'll, like, in the course of doing this investigation, finding these guys, I'll get shot and die, right? So they know that their job is dangerous, and police officers and rangers and all sorts of folks that do that kind of work know that it's dangerous work and death is around every corner. And then, of course, you know, these guys are robbing banks, and they're walking into places, and people have, like, it's Texas. There are folks that are in those banks with guns, and there's a couple encounters like that as well. So death is kind of constantly skirting around the edges of everything and then comes to visit characters in the course of the film. But their Christian faith, this is not something that is really focused on in the movie, and I think that this is an important detail. You've got this father who's doing all of this for his kids, but what good is that if he has no faith, if they have no faith? What is any of it? It's all vanity. It's not getting anybody anywhere if later they're going to have to face death without faith. And there is this kind of interesting little moment where you get the two rangers in a motel room, and the Native American guy is watching a televangelist, and he's getting kind of berated by Jeff Bridges' character, who says, you know, that this TV preacher wouldn't know God if he crawled up his pant leg and bit him. So he's like Jeff Bridges' character, he's looking at this televangelist, and he's a Joel Osteen type, and he's like, this guy doesn't know anything about God, you know. So there is a little bit of hint that these characters are familiar with who God is. Jesus' name is taken in vain a couple times, and of course that indicates that they, you know, you don't do that without having some knowledge of who it is, his name you're using. But overall, there's no hope in the movie connected to anyone's faith per se.
You made the comparison with No Country for Old Men, which I consider to be one of the best films ever made, and made from one of the best books written in English in the 20th century. Really singular work. That ends with, it begins and ends in just this kind of dark place where the guy is, the sheriff, I believe, is talking at the beginning of the movie about a man would have to forfeit his own soul if he really did the job he was supposed to be doing. Is there that kind of spirit in this film?
Listen, No Country for Old Men, like you say, is just a phenomenal movie. And there is a, you know, a poeticism to what Cormac McCarthy does with that book, and it comes across in the film. And Tommy Lee Jones is just amazing. So this is the thing about this movie, is that when you have seen that movie, No Country for Old Men, and you're watching it, you just feel like this is a car with not enough gas to get to the same point that No Country for Old Men got to. So it doesn't have that kind of gravitas. It doesn't hit all those same notes in the way that No Country for Old Men does. this is a perfectly good movie. This is one of the movies where I'm thinking to myself, how is it that this is in the Best Picture category for the Oscars? I'm not 100% sure as to how it got in there. It's good. It's just not No Country for Old Men good. And really, those questions that you're talking about forfeiting your soul and what happens later, you know, like at the end of No Country for Old Men, when he's talking about, Tommy Lee Jones is talking about the dream that he had, like that, it never really reaches anything remotely like that.
So it probably didn't have as good a source material to work from, but it is also nominated for Best Original Screenplay, as well as Best Supporting Actor and Best Film Editing. Of course, when you say best, that's comparative terms to what it's facing this year at the Oscars. Do you think it deserves those nominations?
I don't know. Like I think to myself, this Taylor Sheridan, he's the guy that wrote the screenplay. And if I remember correctly, he's an actor. So essentially, sometimes you get these actors that also do screenplays. And he's, in a way, he's writing a script that maybe he would want to star in or something, you know what I mean? But he did do Sicario. Sicario is quite a good movie. Like, he's the writer for that. And he wrote for Sons of Anarchy. So he has a bit of a pedigree with this kind of thing. But, and he's been an actor. He was an actor in Sons of Anarchy, which is a show that I haven't really watched, but he played Deputy Chief David Hale in that TV show. And he was a cowboy in Hell or High Water.
Are there any pastoral concerns about, you had mentioned language before, but in terms of especially a heist movie about violence?
I mean, it's an R-rated movie, so obviously it's for an adult audience. It's a thriller, so, you know, if people find things like bank robberies to be tense, then they should probably just generally avoid it. The kind of interesting thing in it is that there is this conversation between the father and the one of the sons. So Chris Pine's character, he goes to his ex-wife's house, he's talking to his son, and he comes in there and he gives the son a beer. Like, he's got a beer, he gives the son a beer, and he kind of tells the son he wants better for him and that he should be better than he is, right? The son should be better than the father is. And then the father says, well, are you going to drink your beer? And the kid says, well, which is it? Do you want me to be like you or be better than you? It's one of these kind of moments, right? So the pastoral concern is that people watching it, maybe if they're watching it and they have a moment to think about it, maybe take the moment to think about relationships you have with other people and how that all squares up. And that kind of, maybe it's cliche, but it's something that comes up all the time of, you know, do what I say, not what I do. That's something to kind of think about and not let pass if you're watching the film.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his review of Hell or High Water at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you.
Thank you.
Did you know that there are penalties for marriage in welfare programs? In other words, the government actually is disincentivizing marriage among the poor. And you got to ask the question, what does that do to the children of those couples? Because we're talking about families and children here. We'll be talking about removing marriage penalties from welfare programs with Dr. Jennifer Oback Morse after this. Just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Oh Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.